why do we come to church? What do you guys think? Why do we come to church? To learn about God, that's a big reason. To learn about God, absolutely. To learn about God, why else do you come to church? To learn the Word of God. Okay, she's on a roll here, betting 1,000. To learn about God, learn who He is. To learn the Word of God, why else do we come to church? Be close to other believers? Very good. Why is that necessary?
Strengthened by their testimony.
Okay, we get strengthened by their, yes, testimonies and more. But yes, to be strengthened by their testimonies and their portion. Why else do we come to church? No. Cookies! That's it right there! We come to church for the cookies. You see, we do a lot of things other churches don't. This is the first church of the coffee and carbohydrate. Absolutely. Cookies. Why else do we come to church? Iron sharpens iron. Yes, absolutely. All of these are so far good answers. Why else do we come to church?
Commanded by the Word.
Commanded by the Word. Yeah, in other words, don't putz around with church. You need to do it. Yes. Some people forsake the assembly. God says, don't do it. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. But do it much more. Right? Do it much more. I'm sorry, reward. This is a very good point. Rewards for faithfulness. Yeah. This is a very good point, and often people miss that point. Thank you for bringing it up. Rewards for faithfulness. Church attendance brings rewards. And people who are faithful to church, to a church they are called to, will receive rewards that are unique to them, to two churches. All right, this is how it works, and you brought part of this up. When you come to church, you hear a message that the Holy Spirit gives to the messenger. That's Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. The Spirit speaks to the messenger of the church, and the church will thereby receive from God through the messenger. So the messenger has to be somebody who knows how to hear and is available to hear from the Holy Spirit. Not every messenger out there is a messenger who's delivering the Holy Spirit's message. There are some that are angel of light pulpits. They do not deliver the Holy Spirit's message. They may deliver a moral message. They may deliver an encouraging message. But it's not God's message. And they are, in fact, angel of light pulpits. Remember, there's only two kingdoms. There's no middle ground. So in a church, you go to a church, you're not going to be called to a church where the angel of light is in the pulpit. You're going to be called to a church where the pastor knows how to hear from the Holy Spirit and is available to do so. And there are plenty of churches like that. There are good churches out there. And there's also some that are not so good. And so, every believer is called to a church. Every believer is called to a church. There's three elements within every believer's call. Does anybody know what they are? Three elements of a call. Exactly. Exactly. A geographic area. They're not in any particular order. A geographic area, a local assembly, a specific pastor teacher. If you are not in the right geographic area, you are not in your call. In other words, we don't just move because the job pays more over there. Okay, no, you have to be called to a specific geographic area. Now, for some people, that is their primary call, a geographic area. Those people are usually missionaries or pastors. And pastors should be missionaries wherever they are. And so, for those people, the primary call is the geographic location. Second, some people are called to a specific local assembly. So it doesn't matter who the pastor is at any given time, they are in that local assembly. Third, some people are called to a specific pastor teacher. That means it doesn't matter where that pastor teacher goes, they are going with him. Now, convenience will say we are called to a local assembly. Ignorance doesn't even know of a geographic area. This is common in Christianity. Convenience say we are called to a specific local assembly. But to be honest with you, I personally believe the most common call is to the pastor teacher. Why would that be? Does anybody know? And it has nothing to do with me being a pastor teacher. Good, that's a part of it, absolutely. The pastor you are called to will give answer at the Bema seat. There are some people who don't believe that. They need to read their Bible. The pastor presents the people in his church as a chaste virgin to the bridegroom, to Christ. If the person... See, this is where eisegagics come in. If you don't understand the principle of eisegagics, for those who don't know, is the historical context within which the Bible is written. So, different sections of the Bible have different historical backgrounds, contexts. Those contexts affect meaning. This is one such case where the Bible says that the pastor will present us as the chaste virgin, the believer as the chaste, as a chaste virgin. Chaste simply means pure. There is a specific historical context to that. Young women were often assigned a governor or a caretaker, a guardian. And that person's job was to protect that young woman's purity. If the young woman was not pure, if she was not a virgin when she was given in marriage, then it was the caretaker who was accountable for that. So the pastor, and this is the picture, the pastor presents the people in his church to Christ. That doesn't mean that the pastor is standing at the Bema seat with them, at the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat, for those who may not understand that online. The pastor is not going to be there for the evaluation, but he will present the people in his assembly. I do say in his assembly. I know in today's political age that's not correct to say, but the Bible makes it perfectly clear that women are not to be pastor teachers. That is not a knock against women. That is to say that both the function, design, and role of women is different than that of men. If you can't figure that out, then you're not going to have much of a population. You're not going to have women pastor teachers who are sanctioned by God. I'm not saying God can't use them. God will use anybody. I am saying that that's not the way that God ordained it. He says, suffer not a woman to preach. In other words, women in the local assembly are not to have authority over men unless, in unique circumstances, for example, if they are a teacher of young people, then she has authority over the males as well as the females. But she does not have authority for the pulpit. She may have authority under the pastor teacher. Let's say you can have a woman administrator, whereby she has a certain amount of authority in the church, but only under the covering of a male pastor teacher. That has nothing to do with preference of genders or capability of genders. It has everything to do with divine order. God made things orderly. It has also to do with our personal makeup as human beings. It was Eve that was tempted. It wasn't Adam. Adam chose. Eve was tempted. And so women have a very important and specific place. Now, people will think that that is somehow degrading to women. No, it's not degrading to women at all. It is allowing women, in the design that they have by God, as women, to flourish. In other words, if I have no academic ability, but I'm really good mechanically with my hands, then forget trying to study physics or math or accounting or some heavy-duty academic subjects. Don't do it. Study something where you get to use your hands, because that's the design for that individual. There's plenty of worthwhile, honorable, productive, lucrative things that people can do just with their hands that aren't involving a great deal of academics. And they're just as valuable as those things that are academically, not more, not less, but just as valuable. So when I say this about women, I'm not saying that women have a lesser design or a lesser role. In fact, women are usually the ones who respond the most within churches. They are often the core of churches, because women are much more effective responders than men, by and large. I emphasize by and large. That's not always true. It's usually true. So that's not in any way to degrade women. I want to be careful that you guys understand that. That is not putting women in a lower position. It's simply maintaining order within a church. The order is God-given. And it's also based in our design. So, the pastor teacher preaches the message. You know what's going to happen that week? You're going to be tested on it. If you don't attend church to get the message, you know what's going to happen that week? You're still going to be tested on it. But you're not going to be equipped. You should have been there, God says. You weren't. And because you weren't there, you could have. Now, I'm not talking about unique situations. In a unique situation where perhaps a person is sick, of course you stay home. Right? Of course you rest. Of course you get better. Or maybe a family goes on vacation. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But in a situation where it's just, I was a little too lazy to make it and get up on time, I'm not going to make it to church today. No, you're still getting the test. You're still getting the accountability. When I was teaching, if a kid told me, I just didn't get around to studying, I would say, well, that's just too bad. Today's the test. Brooke, have you ever had a teacher say to you, you didn't feel like studying last night? You don't have to take the test. I've never done that either as a teacher. Of course you're going to get the test. It doesn't, if you didn't feel like it, if you weren't disciplined enough, whatever, that's your problem. You're going to get the test. The test is going to come. What's going to come as a result of the test? Reward. Reward will come as a result of the test. The person who is faithful to the local assembly gets unique rewards. You show up for the message, you get unique rewards. Not only from the test, although that is one source. You will also get rewards simply because you were there. If you're not there, you lose those rewards. You forsake them. You see, there's the thing. People are sometimes too oriented to comfort. Too oriented to other things. Or they're too rigid. They're too unwilling to adjust their schedule in other areas to make it work. Why? Because they don't put church in its proper priority. And so they're very unwilling to put it in its top priority where God puts it. Gathered together much more, not as it's convenient. Not as meets your preferences. Not as meets your comfort. No, much more. Much more means if we're here today, you're here today. If we're here tomorrow, you're here tomorrow. If you're here the next day, you're here the next day. Much more. That's not legalistic. Like I said, if you're sick, if your family's on vacation, that's fine. If you're doing it every week, you've got a problem. Why? Because you're not obedient to God. And then, of course, people throw in excuses. You know what? Your excuses aren't going to hold up at the Bema seat. It's that simple. The excuses don't hold up at the Bema seat. Pastor Stevens used to call an excuse the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. It's like a little excuse sausage. The skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. Well, I couldn't. Well, you could have. The reason, real reason is you chose not to. Yes, but I had reasons. Maybe you did. Everybody has reasons. The fact of the matter is we do what we feel is the most advantageous to us. That's how every human being makes decisions. That which you feel will benefit you the most is that which you're going to choose, whether you realize it or not. Every human being from childhood on makes decisions on that basis. And so, for whatever reason, a person felt that something else would benefit them more than hearing the Word of God that day. Okay, that's their decision. There's no condemnation. You made your decision before God. You will stand before God with your decision. It's not anybody's place to condemn. It's not anybody's place to judge. You make your decision before God. You stand before God with your decision. And at the Bema seat, your decision will be tested. If the decision was right with God, you will receive a reward. If the decision was not right with God, you will suffer loss. The reward and the loss are both eternal. Make your decisions before God. That's how it works. This is true for little children. It's true for very old people. It's true for everybody in between. You make your decisions before God. You will stand before God with your decisions. Simple. It's nobody else's business. Now, pastors have a right to comment on it because we are there to also warn, instruct, encourage, admonish, things like that. But it's still the individual decision and nobody has the right to violate their privacy. Now, that being said, the person who is faithful to that specific church, that specific pastor-teacher, will receive that pastor-teacher's rewards. It's the disciple principle. If you receive a disciple in the name of a disciple, you will receive that disciple's rewards. There are individual rewards, and there are what you could call corporate rewards or group rewards, but specific group. Now, the people who are called, let's say, to me, will receive my rewards so long as they are faithful to the vision and the call that God has imparted to me for our local assembly. Then what rewards I get, they get. Likewise, what rewards they get within that operation of the local assembly, I get. We receive corporate rewards. Pastor Stevens was my pastor. So long as I was faithful to Pastor Stevens and to be there when he was preaching, I get his rewards. He gets mine. So we share in these rewards. Not that we share one pie. Each of us gets the same pie, but a full version of it for ourselves. So if I get a blueberry pie as a reward, you get a blueberry pie for a reward also. But I'll tell you one thing, it's a lot better than blueberry pie. But we share rewards. We get each other's rewards. If I get a measure of gold, you get a measure of gold. And it's the same measure. If we are faithful, if there's a oneness of heart within the local assembly. When Pastor Stevens came, I first met him, God showed me that I was called to have him as my pastor. And I told him that. I said to him, Pastor, God showed me that you are my pastor. And I was very surprised by what he said to me. I appreciated what he said to me, but I didn't expect him to say it. He just smiled. He said, that's great. Be there whenever I preach. Why? Because what benefit do I have of being called to him as my pastor if I'm not there when he preaches? So, great. I was called to him as my pastor. That meant I had to be there whenever he preached. Was that a legalistic thing? No. If I was sick, I'd stay home. There were times when I went on vacation, I wasn't there when he preached. Perfectly legit. But any opportunity I had, I was there. If I was tired that day, you know, I'd get up anyway. And I was there when he'd preach. And I made a point of being there. I went to the wraps, so I went to, you know, he had 3 times a week services, I went 3 times a week, the whole 9 yards. I took it to heart. When my pastor told me, be there when I preach, I was there when he preached. It was remarkable the difference that made. Being a Sunday morning Christian is not sufficient. If I'm a Sunday morning Christian, I'm not much of a Christian. And that's why the state of Christianity, to some extent, is where it is today. God's not interested in Sunday morning Christians. God's interested in life Christians. If I'm a one-time-a-week Christian, I don't have much going on in my life as far as fellowship goes. I don't have much going on in my life as far as covering goes. I just don't have much going on. What if I don't have the opportunity for more than one time a week? Then you listen to the messages and you do what you can. You need to be around the body of Christ. The body of Christ is a provision. Some people, you know, they will come up with a reason. And I'm not saying anybody here. Everybody stands before God with their decisions. There are legitimate decisions and then there are decisions that are not legitimate. So there's not a condemnation to this. There are legitimate reasons and there are reasons that are not legitimate. And I think most people have enough sense to figure out which is which. But it said much more. Okay, so we get each other's rewards, we fellowship, we participate in the body of Christ, we get the advantage of being part of a body. One thing that wasn't mentioned about going to church is being a part of the body, you need the other portions to be able to function as who you are. Without those other portions in the church, you can't function as the body of Christ. You're separated from the body of Christ. If you're separated from the body of Christ, how are you going to function as the body of Christ? A thumb cannot function on its own. It'll always be a thumb with no function, though, if it's separated from the rest of the body. And so we need to be in church also so that our portion can function as what it is. So that the life of God can flow through us also. Without being there, you're not going to have that happening. And so we're here because God said to, that's where it starts. And then it continues to a whole lot of different benefits. My advice, and this is between you and God, my advice is if it is humanly possible, be there. Unless there's a legitimate reason. I'm sick that day. Okay, then don't be there. Get rest so you can get better. That's a legit reason. I got called into work and I got to be there that day. Okay, that's fine. I understand. Don't worry about it. Get the message online. I got called into work next week also. I got called into work the week after also. I got called into work the week after also. You need a new job. Because the kingdom is not first. And God makes it clear, seek first the kingdom. The kingdom is not first in that case. No condemnation. But that's just the kingdom. We're in an order where there's a king. We don't get to pick and choose. We're in an order where there's a king. The king says, this is how things work. So we do it. Because that's how things work. You guys are awesome that way. I mean, we have a good group. We have faithful people. But even faithful people need to hear these things. And so, we're in an order. Now, you receive rewards specifically for being in church. You will not receive rewards for not being in church. Right? That's just how it works. And so, we want to be in church much more as we see the day approaching. It's important. It covers us. It protects us. It defines us. One of the problems we're seeing in our country is that there is a demise of church. A demise within the pulpit. A demise within the conviction. One of the things that drives me nuts is when I see this, and I don't go to these churches, I won't go to these churches. Even if I wasn't pastoring, I wouldn't go to these churches. The pastor is there in jeans and flip-flops and a Hawaiian shirt. Why? Because he's Joe Relaxed. And he wants to show you how relaxed it is in his church. I want you to be relaxed in your life. I don't want you to be relaxed in church. I don't want you to be uptight. But a little bit of discipline, a little bit of concentration, a little bit of academic effort is necessary. If a pastor doesn't have enough regard to have a personal presentation that is respectful toward the pulpit and the assembly, why in the world would God even speak to him if he has so little regard? Just like sowing, if a pastor is a lifestyle, now I'm not saying this is legalistic either. There are times where there's legitimate reason and there are times when there's not. But if a pastor doesn't have a lifestyle of soul winning, why in the world would I go to his church when he's not obedient to God? Because God said the pastor is to do the work of an evangelist. So why in the world, if he's not doing the work of an evangelist, I say, well, it's a lifestyle evangelism. Baloney! Lifestyle evangelism is really a cheap excuse for not wanting to share the gospel. Well, you have to invest people. Yeah, invest in them. Invest your head off. But also get out on the streets. I have to invest in the wheat before I can reap. Therefore, I will never reap. I'll just invest. Then you ain't going to have any bread. Nah, you invest, absolutely you invest, and then you also get out there with a sickle and you cut some wheat down, and you make some bread out of it. The pastor is supposed to do both. You know what? Christians in general are supposed to do both. The vast majority of Christians don't soul win. Because they're not obedient to God. It's that simple. It's not legalistic. It's just a lifestyle. Well, I can't be there when you guys go sowing. Well, then sowing on your own. Nobody said how you have to do it. Just do it. Nobody said where you have to do it. Just do it. Wherever you are, just do it. Be a soul winner. Well, I befriend people and it's lifestyle. Far more often, lifestyle evangelism works in the reverse. You're evangelized into Satan's kingdom through compromise. And acceptance. I'm not a big fan of this lifestyle evangelism thing. It's an excuse. Lifestyle evangelism is not what God prescribed for evangelism. He said, go two by two. Don't go alone. Go two by two. If you have to go alone, then go alone in wisdom. But not to places you don't know. Go on purpose, go two by two, go knock on some doors, go find people in the street. But I don't know what to say, then hand them a tract. I don't have any tracts. Then print some. Doesn't have to be fancy. Just has to have the message. You can find tracts online, fairly decent messages online for a tract. If you're in our church, we'll give you tracts. You can find those and just do it. But I don't have time. No, you don't make time. You don't have time because you don't make time. People say, I don't have time. You have 24 hours every day. You're going to choose what you do with your 24 hours. You have 24 hours every day. Well, I have to be at work and feed my family. Okay, be at work and feed your family. How much do you work every day? Most people work 8 hours. Some people work more. Most people work 8 hours. Okay, that means you still have some hours left. Yeah, what am I supposed to do? Not sleep? Then don't sleep. Well, then I'll be tired. Then you'll be tired. The Holy Spirit quickened people from the dead. Can't He quicken the tired body? Of course He can. Trust Him for it and He will. I'm getting ornery now. When I was teaching, it was very common for me to have a long day. And I'd be up the next day and I'd have to be able to teach. And I did. And the funny thing is, I still found time for soul winning. I still found time for church. Had to, because I was the pastor. But you know what? You don't find time, you make time. Things that are casual, you find time. Things that are important, you make time. Everybody knows that. So we made time. You know, I'm not too sympathetic to a lot of excuses sometimes. Time is one of them. You make the time. Now, sometimes it's legit. Sometimes it is legit. I don't want to make this sound legalistic. It's not a legalistic thing. Sometimes it's legit. Sometimes it's not. It's where people make their decisions with God, before God, and then they will receive the reward of their decisions. It's that simple.